Hello, my loves. We are in part four of my four-part series on healing with anxiety. And I think I'm going to do a part five, but we'll see. But I just really want to honor four here because I'm having so much fun with anxiety. And it would seem that a lot of what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks has been nourishing. Today, launch day of this episode, is also spring equinox, or we could just say equinox, that is spring in this hemisphere. There's an equinox happening in the other hemisphere. Equinoxes are a great time to look at the stuff you haven't been looking at. I mean, all planetary shifts are a great time to look at the stuff. It's all about the healing. And speaking of healing, I'm doing a live workshop. Consider it like a super class called How to Heal for Real. It's happening on Thursday, April 4th, 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. You can drop in for just $47. If you go to daniellelaporte.com/how-to-heal, you can RSVP. And if you use POD, P-O-D-105, POD-105, you get $17 off the How to Heal for Real workshop. It's going to be deep. I am definitely doing a slide deck for this one. You will get notes, every resource for links, for books, for healing methodologies that I mentioned. You will get the list of that. We're going to do this in two parts. I'm doing a breakdown on the fundamentals of, I'm going to give you a cheesy new age word here, dis-ease, but it works in this case, and the fundamentals of healing. As usual, I've co-created this class with VS, who is our metaphysical practitioner, been on the team for about 8 years. And I hope that this is a workshop that shifts our perspective on how we get to the suffering that we get ourselves in and how we can get ourselves through it. It has a lot to do with correct identification, and it's about a metaphysical approach to healing the physical. And that has to start with higher intentions for what we think and what we say and how we're actually going to act. It's all about coming into alignment. So How to Heal for Real, Thursday, April 4th. Head to daniellelaporte.com/how-to-heal. And then you use this beautiful code, POD105, for $17 off the class. So tell me if this sounds like you. You're known to have high organizational skills. Like, you got it down. You could show Marie Kondo a few things. You and your label maker, you as besties. You are impeccable at handling major pressure. Like, you have probably said on more than one occasion with some kind of sexy bravado that you work best under pressure. Here I go. Okay. You get along with kind of everybody. You'll find a way. I mean, you may talk under your breath about what they got going on. You might have your own natural judginess, but you're able to smooth things out. You're inclusive of everybody's opinions at the table. Like, you are constantly taking the pulse of the entire team, everybody in the room. This would all mean that you are the go-to. You're the go-to girlfriend, mama, auntie, sister, mister, colleague, leader, organizer, communitarian that pulls it all together. Wait. Not only do you pull it all together, you pull it all together every single time. Every single time, right? Relating? Are you feeling good about yourself right now? You should feel good about yourself. And let's just breathe into our hearts. We know where we're going here. We're going deep into the cave of our vast self. Let your mind drop into the center of your heart chakra. Warm, friendly luminosity. You feel that? Okay. Because underneath all of that high functioning functionality, maybe, possibly, you feel in the pressure. The pressure. Every time you wake up, every time you put on your heels or your sneakers because you got smart enough to switch the heels for sneakers every time you walk into the room. Every time you get to that Excel document, you're ready to rock it, but there's that pressure. Every time you're hanging out with the unorganized, we could just call that as like an affliction, the unorganized, as opposed to the organized that you are, capital O. Yeah. Underneath that, or alongside that, with that, how's your sleep? Is there ever a pounding in your chest? Heart racing, biological heart racing? Do you worry? It's like beyond wondering. Do you worry about not being organized enough, not being good enough? Maybe you're not the organized type, but you are a great air traffic controller for chaos. Doesn't mean you need to be rocking the documents or the Pomodoro time management method, but you get it all done. Do you wonder how worthy you are before you show up? Do you ever question if you will be invited back if you do not perform? And if you don't perform to your standards, and you're simultaneously choking about not performing to someone else's standards, what's that inner dialogue sound like? Is it pretty blamey? Does it sound like just an angry, dissatisfied parent? When really what you're longing for is unconditional friendliness. You've probably figured out that keeping all of those fears and the tremors and the imbalances and the shadowy stuff and the questionable questions about your self-worth, keeping those in check undercover is part of your winning strategy. So on the outside, whatever industry you're in, maybe you're not even in an industry, how about these terms for yourself? Who relates? High achiever. Detail oriented. Polished. Has nothing to do particularly with fashion, but you got it buttoned up. Driven. Maybe you're like one of the spiritually closeted driven people. You just say you have a healthy sense of ambition, but come on, sister, mister, you're a solid partner there all the time. It's almost like you're in charge of the relationship. Yeah. Loyal friend to everybody all the time. So good. And for sure, you are an excellent communicator. You are thorough. You are punctual. Your grammar is amazing. Might not be able to sleep at night, but your punctuation is on fleek. Okay, just a reminder, because we're going to take a hard right turn here. Breathe into your heart, warm, friendly, luminosity. I got you. I was you. I am you. I'm with you. Okay, on the inside, this might be possible. Dreadful anxiety. Just, you know, a persistent sense of dread. Fears. Maybe boundless, perpetual, consistent gnawing. That's the word I wanted. Gnawing fears of anything. Maybe of everything. Constant worries. Maybe you don't even know how constantly you are worrying. But let's just take a minute. Let's do what we do here on With Love, Danielle. Take another deep breath into your heart center. See your heart as a sky. Let's do a horizon. So you see yourself seated on a beach or standing on a beach. You're in front of this vast, calm, pale blue ocean. On the far, far horizon, you see a vast open sky, calm skies, also pale blue, radiant kind of golden white light quality in the sky. And now in this open space, ask yourself for your worries to appear on that sky. Use the sky like it's a movie screen. Maybe your worries show up as words or vignettes of certain scenes, little sketches, sounds, images. What are you worried about? Okay, now are those worries persistent? Do you have them every day, more than once a day? Are they influencing your decisions? All right, take a deep breath. And we're back to people pleasing. Anybody? People pleasing? Do you want to please me by listening to this entire podcast and leaving a review just in case I might read it? You don't have to do that, by the way. I mean, I'm being cheeky. That would be awesome, but you don't have to do that. You don't even need to finish listening. By the way, you don't need to finish listening to this podcast or finishing any book. You don't even need to finish every single conversation, but you might do that because of a habit of heightened self-criticism. What about perfectionism traits? Can't launch it until. Must be this way or else. Will not move forward without. Yeah. How's your capacity to say no? Just no. No thank you. No thank you is my preference, but how you doing on the saying no to invitations from people that you actually love and adore? Can you say no to people you respect? Can you, this is the big one, can you say no thank you to people whose respect you are trying to earn? Just asking. Are you, I know this is sounding a little infomercial, maybe. Are you unable to just be you? But it's true. Come on. Come on. If we was girlfriends and we were sitting on my linen sofa right now, it's actually hemp. I wanted linen, but hemp was like one third the price. If we were sitting on the sofa, I would say, sister, what would your life look like if you could just be yourself? Just wear whatever you want to work or any time of the day. Don't go to the Thanksgiving dinner. Host the Thanksgiving dinner. Be vegan. Be a carnivore. Be fat. Be skinny. Be bold. Be just, what would it look like for you to just be you with all of the other moms? To just be you on the dating app? Oh my God. Are you proud of being a high achiever? Okay, I have two more for you on this infomercial of high functioning but actually anxious individuals. Okay, I may or may not know what I'm talking about in this one. Do you have a sense of constant dissatisfaction? You know, like it could always just be a little cleaner, a little brighter, a little better, a little more organized, a little more vibrant, a little more down to earth, a little more colorful, a little more tasty, a little more talkative, a little more refined, just a little more. And because you're such a high achiever and you're such a solid partner and friend, and basically you are an awesome citizen of the planet, you are going to do your part in making all of those things wherever you go constantly better. It might be in the form of filing a complaint with customer service because that's your duty. Oh my God, you do not want to go somewhere with me where I am dissatisfied with the situation. I am cool and I'm like Danielle spoken and spiritual about the things. Like I know how to give the shit sandwich. You girls are great. I love coming here, but I just wanted to let you know. And you know, the thing is, it's ridiculous because 9 times out of 10, it doesn't end well. They feel put upon, totally judged, because I'm judging their response. I'm judging how they haven't had any customer service training at all, obviously, because they are pulling out the policy with me before they exhibit any empathy and understanding. And then I just decide I never fucking want to go back. But anyway, number 11 on the list. Are you obsessed? One of my least favorite words right now, by the way, because like this is like one of the influencer's favorite words, like I'm just obsessed with, but are you obsessed on how others judge you? Let me say that with a few different tones. Do you have an obsession? Obsession, not healthy. Do you have an obsession on how others judge you? Not just how you judge yourself. You're a professional at judging yourself. That feels good and righteous and productive and effectual. But are you actually obsessed on how others judge you? People you don't even know online, you got to say just the right thing. people who do not have the capacity to see you for who you are and love what they see. It's just where they're at. You're already thinking about how someone you haven't met yet is going to judge you. All right, my loves, I know you're relating to most of this or a solid sum of this. I have worked with a really high-level tech company, women's leadership team, made up of women from 30 different countries. And I can tell you that these women are high performers. I mean, just to hold the positions that they hold in this male-dominated industry for the amount of time that they have been holding them, these women are ballers. Their anxiety levels, off the charts. But they don't call it that. It doesn't get named. They will cry when you talk about inner child work. When you just go woman to woman, like reality to reality, and you are holding space for everybody to just be themselves, when there's compassion and empathy and respect for how far they've come, the walls come down, the tears come out pretty quickly. Sleep issues are talked about, weight issues, cortisol levels. Basically, it becomes a confessional about dysregulated nervous systems. I've connected with females in the wellness industry who have hundreds of thousands of followers on multiple social media platforms, and they do not even know what the nervous system is. Quote unquote, I've been hearing about it. It's something I want to look into. I mean, I get that for the average bear, but wellness industry, what? I used to run a think tank. I know it's bizarre, but I used to run a think tank in Washington, D.C. I had first level security clearance to go to the Pentagon to talk about AIDS in Africa and weapons of mass destruction and water wars, all those things. And I worked with other think tank staff, men and women, and of course with military personnel, a lot of men, but I was really focused on my relationships with the women. It was in my early 30s. I was shocked at the amount of people. These are high performers. These are decorated, highly paid professionals. A lot of them on some kind of medication for their, quote, nerves. I know more people who have been in, are in self-help, spiritual, quote, industry, who cannot sleep without medication. But the filters and the stylists and the books and the hair and the good work in the world, the seva, the prosperity, the generosity, it's all there. It's all part of the package. I've stood backstage with one of the most highly paid speakers on the circuit who was speaking to his sold-out house, who just wanted to stay in bed that day because anxiety out of control, riddled with an imposter complex, but custom-made suit and booked for 12 months in advance with gigs. So, all this to say, you might not be alone. All this to say, this is its own kind of epidemic. All this to say, this is where we are at in the unfolding of our consciousness, which means the unconscious stuff is going to rise to the surface. That sense of constant dissatisfaction, the people-pleasing, the acute self-criticism underneath the obsession with details and being so polished and being solid for everybody all the time. All this to say, don't fall for your own stuff anymore. Of course you can get it all done. At what cost? I'm more interested in supporting you to have a relationship with your higher self than cheering you on to be a high performer. Because who are you performing for? If you are directing your skills, your talent, your love to the divine, I mean, really, that's the only desire to have, the higher desire, right? Even then, there is no need to perform. You're not on the hook. God is not keeping score. We are operating on a timeline of eternity. There is nothing to prove when you are the beloved. when you get into that space of oneness consciousness, that we all come from the same source, you're never going to feel like you're on the outside again. Way less anxiety. What's to achieve, you know, when time is an illusion? And of course, down here, time is not an illusion. And we do want to achieve things. But the question is, who's doing the achieving for who? I mean, my experience has been the more compassion I have for myself, I think there's two pillars. It's compassion and acceptance, both of those being soul qualities, virtues, right? The more compassion I have with where I'm at today on my journey, what I'm doing and I'm not doing, how I'm feeling and how I want to be feeling, the more acceptance I have with what is, with what's happening inside me, with what's happening with my partner, my team, in the state of this world, the more I can just be with that now and shine with that now and be tender with it now and be strategic and clear thinking, the more I can apply my diamond mind to things now and my vast, sweet, golden, pink, radiant heart now, the fewer goals I have. And the fewer goals I have, the less anxiety I have. You think there's a connection? I think there's a connection. Compassion. And the courage, that's it, the courage to be with what's happening now is the medicine for anxiety and panic. So managing, let's just talk about management for a second. This isn't about completely dissolving it or becoming a master of it, but I think managing anxiety looks like learning about anxiety. And with that, you're going to come to the conclusion that some mindfulness practices are probably necessary. You got to move your body. Great to alternate between yang and yin movements. We talked a lot about immediate, simple, physical responses to anxiety in podcast 102. It's all the good things. It's nutritious, mineral-rich food. It's giving up caffeine, sugary stuff, the gluten-filled stuff. It's having a therapist, cognitive therapy, behavior therapy. It's sunshine. Okay. It's medications. If you and a healthcare provider who you know and trust and is asking you questions like, what are you eating? How are you sleeping? How are your relationships? If they're not asking you those things, walk away. But if they are and you together, because you are in charge, you are CEO of your own health, if you deem fit that meds are right for you at this time in your life, then that's on the list of things that heal. Friends, support groups, friends that see you and hear you and hold you, safe spaces. Okay, let's press pause here on the list of solutions and talk about a life pause. So I'm bringing in my friend Maria Bello, who recently, after being off of Instagram for 2 years, came back and talked about this life pause that she was taking. Maria is a beautiful woman and a great actress. My first exposure to her was in Coyote Ugly, where she like owned the bar. And then she got a Golden Globe nomination for the film History of Violence, which I would say I'd put in like in my top 35 movies. It was her starring with Viggo, Hamina Mortensen. And most recently, did you know that Maria Bello is the producer of The Woman King, which was starring Viola Davis? I was so proud that she was able to move that whole story of like real woman leadership forward. Anyway, Maria pressed pause a few years ago on big parts of her life and her career, which if you are a chronic achiever and a people pleaser and dealing with any kind of anxiety under the surface, I am highly recommending. Little side note here before I tell you about Maria's journey. We need to keep in mind that women are more often affected by anxiety disorders and panic attacks because of our heightened sensitivity to hormonal balance and imbalances, right? So this is what Maria said. I've decided to come back to Instagram after a 2-year menopause. I went through the first half of menopause during COVID and tried everything to keep it at bay. I took bioidentical hormones and still do. I dieted harder and faster, but still managed to gain 15 pounds. Tried Ozempic for a week, but gave up after the constant nausea and vomiting. Getting rid of the waddle in my neck, I tried Botox, fillers, lasers, face creams, cellulite machines, face threads, teeth straightening, and more. I did copious amounts of therapy, including microdosing psilocybin. I left Hollywood, yay, and all social media, and at the end of it, finally moved to Paris because she fell in love. That was October of 2021, and I decided then to really delve into the pause in menopause and to immerse myself in the seven tasks of midlife that Carl Jung spoke about. Carl Jung said the midlife point is marked by disillusionment and depression. I would add to that anxiety and panic attacks. He said that to cross over successfully into the second half of life, one needed to complete these tasks. And then how Maria goes on to phrase it is she took 2 years to accept her newly emerging self. So my love, your high achiever could hold the hand of your constant worrying. Your very polished self could be carrying your people-pleasing self. Your driven self could be loving on your incapacity to say no. And that bondedness, that mothering, that compassion and acceptance brings forth the light that wants to emerge. You being love for all of that shadow content is the emergence of your true self, your whole self, your Buddha nature, your Christ consciousness, your love and mama self. That hand holding, that embracing, that attentiveness looks like the to-do list for how to have a regulated nervous system. All right, so what are the seven tasks of midlife that Carl Jung spoke about? These, more specifically, are Carl Jung's seven tasks of aging. Now, I know there's lots of you listening who are in your 30s. You're not thinking about aging. It's not even on your mind. In fact, you probably think you're immortal right now, and let's just go with that. But aging is it's going to happen. But I want you to think of this for the non-age relators. Think of this as any season in your life, really. So his first task is facing the reality of aging and dying. I would say this is about facing the reality of being human, of being infallible, of weaknesses, of anxiety, of all the things that we're trying to mask over with the people-pleasing and the doing it all and being polished and all of that. The next task is a life review. This is a good thing to do any time of your life. I love doing it on my birthday. I love doing it on solstices, equinoxes, the fall. September is really the new January. How's it going? Are you satisfied with where you're at? You might not be happy, but you can be satisfied. The third task, defining life realistically. You could break that down into not comparing your life to everybody else's filtered Instagram reality. You could break that down into what are the gifts you have been given that would be you honoring life, you honoring God, if you were to live into those gifts. That's defining life realistically. Four, letting go of the ego. Oh my God, give me a break. It's just, he just slips it in there like it's so easy. I don't believe that the ego is something that you let go of. I think where Jung and I would overlap is that the ego is something that needs to be integrated. It's the shadow self. It's the egoing, right? It's all the times that we believe we are not love, and so we act unlovingly to ourselves and to others. And you are going to integrate that little monstery barking dog wounded child into your heart so it calms down and doesn't rule all of your decisions. 5, finding new rooting in the self. Where do you root? Where is home? Where is your nervous system most nourished? 6, determining the meaning of one's life. That may shift with every decade. And 7, rebirth, dying with life. I think it's some form of death that stirs up most forms of anxiety. It is the fear of someone thinking that we're something we're not, and we die to that identity. It's the fear of not getting what we want and thinking that we're going to have to grieve dreams that don't come true. Every day is an opportunity to die to unmet desires, so desires that are closer aligned to your heart, that are higher desires, can make their way into you. And when that happens, the dreadful anxiety, the fears, the worries, the people pleasing, the criticism, the perfectionism, it all starts to come to rest, come to roost in your heart. And it's from that place, with all of those fragmented parts of yourself brought into you, not rejected, certainly not neglected, accepted, embraced, shown compassion. It's from there that you become your whole self. You expand. And from that wholeness, you become a high achiever. You become detail-oriented on behalf of life force. You are polished because you care. You are driven in the direction of goodwill and inclusiveness. And then, of course, you're a solid partner and a loyal friend. And if you're not, more compassion and love. And of course, you're an excellent communicator because you are thinking and speaking and acting with love, because you showed the love to your fragmented selves. And then anxiety is off the payroll. It might show up once in a while to ask for your loving attention, and you will have more love to give it. High achiever or higher self? There's room for all of it, you know, in your heart. From one high functioner to another, I am so glad you're here. I will see you next Wednesday. With love, Danielle. Thank you so much for listening, for feeling, for spreading the word. With love.